Lyrically, I'm untouchable, uncrushable. Running in a 600, running in a 600. Untouchable, uncrushable. Running in a 600, running in a 600.
Back, Punch in the Face Radio here, your host Brandon Stubbs. Forgive me, it's been a lot of weeks in between shows, but things have happened, things have been busy, but we're back. And more importantly, we're back in maybe the biggest fight week of the year, UFC's International Fight Week with UFC 200, Ultimate Fighter Finale, and a Fight Night card as well. So this week I'm actually going to give a breakdown of my fight picks for all three of those events and a few other things here as well. So make sure you still follow me on Twitter, punch_2theface. And as well as punchtothefacethefacecom, and any emails you can send to Brandon at punchtothefacethefacecom. And it's always the number 2 there in punchtothefacethefacecom. So let's just get it rolling here. Now, UFC has been hyping this for quite some time, really since last year, UFC 200, International Fight Week. It's a big deal for them. They're going to have their first event in the new T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas here on July 9th. With UFC 200, they brought back Brock Lesnar. We've got Daniel Cormier and Jon Jones finally going to have their rematch. But everything really starts here on Thursday during International Fight Week, where you're going to have actually a title fight on UFC Fight Pass. Now, some would see this as being a demotion, and others will see this as being a business ploy by the UFC to continue to build and grow the UFC Fight Pass network. If you don't have UFC Fight Pass, I would strongly suggest actually getting a membership for that. I have one, and I think it's phenomenal. All the fights that you can look at and watch on the fight library, and every now and again they'll throw us an exclusive such as this. So here on Thursday here during International Fight Week, we're going to have Rafael Dos Anjos defending his lightweight championship belt against Eddie Alvarez. Now, for Dos Anjos, this kind of is a demotion for him a bit. You're the lightweight champion. The last time you were set to fight was going to be against Conor McGregor at UFC 196. We know he broke his foot and had to pull out of the fight, and well, that pretty much threw everything to a tailspin for a lot of people involved. But now he's healthy, and he's going to be defending his belt against former Bellator champion Eddie Alvarez. Now, I wasn't too keen on the matchup in regards to Eddie Alvarez getting this opportunity to fight for a title, but really, if you think about it, it's not a lot of other options there in the lightweight division for Dos Anjos, at least right now. So Eddie Alvarez has done well since his initial UFC debut, where he just pretty much got pummeled by Donald Cerrone, but he's looked better in his fights since then. For Dos Anjos, he's looked well in his fights as well, but, this is a different style of matchup for him. So, very interesting fight. I honestly do look for Dos Anjos to come out on top and retain his title. As far as who he defends belt against after this, that could throw everything for a loop. So, we shall see. Another big fight on the card, and literally big, is Big Country Roy Nelson versus Derek Lewis, a.k.a. the Black Beast. These two had pretty much booked this fight via social media. The buzz grew, and finally, after Derek Lewis's last victory, UFC said, sure, we'll get you against Roy Nelson. We'll do it during International Fight Week. So, that's going to be the co-main. Really, I see Roy Nelson having more tools to use to beat Derek Lewis. But it's one of those things, if Lewis can get him down to the ground and he gets on top of him, that's a lot of man on top of another man. Pause. A little weird there. But that's a lot of man to be on top of you to try to get out of a compromising position. So I look for Roy Nelson to win, but this is kind of a 50-50 fight. It really is a real pick'em fight. But a fight I think it will be enjoyable. I do see it ending in very violent fashion as well. And another fighter to name drop here is Belal Muhammad, a former Titan FC welterweight champion, who's actually now stepping up and now fighting for the UFC against Alan Jaban. Jaban was really supposed to face is it Noran Tablib? But he ended up getting injured, and they ended up signing Belal from Titan FC and getting him an opportunity. So he's actually going to be, quote-unquote, part of the main portion of the Fight Night card. The thing is, the whole thing's on Fight Pass, so it's not a doesn't really matter if you're a preliminary fight or a main card. He's one of the third to the last bout on the card. So, big step up for him. A big opportunity for him. I mean, with him being the former champion in another organization, if he was able to get a stoppage win and make it look good, that's going to get him kind of thrown in the mix for, you know, being a few fights away from a welterweight title fight, possibly. So, a big-time opportunity for Muhammad here. Glad to see a fighter from Titan FC getting that UFC out clause and being able to cash in on it. So, that's another fight, interesting fight to watch there on the card. A few other names that will be a part of the Fight Pass card here Thursday night. Mike Powell will be a part of the card. Gilbert Burns. So, you know, a few other names here and there, but really the three fights there that are going to be interesting to watch are going to be the title fight between Dos Anjos and Alvarez, Roy Nelson and Derek Lewis, and then Juban and Muhammad. Those are going to be the fights to watch. But again, some Fight Pass, so good way to ease into the weekend. I do know as we record this, there are still tickets available for that card. I want to say there's even some combo tickets available for both this card and the Ultimate Fighter card. Now, the Ultimate Fighter finale will air on FX1 on Friday. So the next day here after the Fight Pass card, you're going to have another UFC event from the MGM Grand Arena. That's going to feature a female strawweight championship bout between Joanna Jędrzejczyk and Claudia Gleheja. It's still one of the... It's still a very interesting fight. Now, if you watch the Ultimate Fighter season, which I don't think many people have, these two really don't like each other. They've, you know, Joanna said that, you know, she didn't like the way sometimes she was kind of viewed here on the show and the way that they kind of cut scenes up and made kind of portrayed her throughout the show. So that's it's a bit interesting, but you know, the fight in itself, Gleheja gave Jędrzejczyk her toughest bout here to date in the UFC. Some will even say she might have won that fight. It was a close fight. I do think Joanna did enough to win it, but I could also see people's point in saying, you know, Gleheja edged her out. So now they're going to get an opportunity to go back at it. Truth be told, this may be the toughest competition for really either woman in the strawweight division. I look at these women being 1A and 1B in regards to the division and who is actually the best fighter there in the division. So this is going to be a fun bout. I do look forward to go the full five rounds. I don't think it's going to be a stoppage here. I think we're going to be looking at another narrow decision. And I think the champion, Jędrzejczyk, is going to hold on to the belt. But I think she's going to get some scares in this bout, and I think Gleheja is definitely going to prove her worth and really show that she should be the champion. But I think Joanna's just going to do just enough to edge her. Should be an interesting bout there. You know, as we record this, we don't know who's going to be in the Ultimate Fighter finale as far as the bouts go. Truth be told, I've only watched 3 episodes of this season. It's just something I just can't get into reality shows. And, you know, the Ultimate Fighter is one of those things. I think they could, they got to figure out a different pathway for this. It's just not getting it like it used to. Like I said, I don't think many people are watching the show. I think the ratings have slipped quite dramatically. So, you know, I may try to catch up on Fight Pass here as the week goes on, but not a big deal. But speaking of a big deal, Will Brooks, yet another former Bellator lightweight champion, is actually going to be making his promotional debut as he's going to take on Lars Pearson. Now, for Brooks, you know, it was a little bit of, I don't want to say controversy, you know, him getting released from Bellator, but it was a simple fact of, you know, the money he wanted, they didn't want to pay him, they didn't think it was worth it, and they just set him on the shelf and waited for his contract to expire and then cut him loose. Bellator really just had little to no use for him, as strange as that sounds. Him being their champion, it just seems like he didn't mesh well with the organization, the promotion, over the last, you know, year or so. But he's now going to get his opportunity to fight in the UFC. I think they kind of give him somewhat of a layup in Ross Pearson. Now, Ross can definitely strike, but his wrestling is a question, and that's what really Will Brooks is really good at. Now, Will try to throw his hands off and try to strike, which would not be smart in this situation. I think Ross Pearson definitely has been the better striking of anyone to this point Will Brooks has fought in his professional career. So if Brooks is smart, he's going to get the takedown and just kind of work on the ground that way and wear down Ross Pearson, possibly stop him via ground and pound. if he stands, standing with Ross is probably not going to end well for him. So, we shall see, but I do look for Will Brooks to win that fight in his UFC debut. Will they fast-track him in the lightweight division would be my question. You know, if somehow Eddie Alvarez were to win the Thursday night and Will Brooks wins the following night, I mean, could we finally get the fight that we thought we were going to see in Bellator between Will Brooks and Eddie Alvarez? I think the fight's going to happen sooner than later. I would definitely see if Will Brooks were to win and Eddie were to lose, that could be their next bout between the two. I don't know if Alvarez were to win and Brooks were to win, if they would make that fight that quickly, but, you know, stranger things have happened, but I do look for those two gentlemen to face each other at some juncture, really probably within the next, you know, 12 to 15 months. I see that being a bout that's going to get made at some point, because it should have happened in Bellator, but egos, contracts, and a lot of other BS prevented it from happening. So that will that'll be interesting to see. But I look for Will Brooks to beat Ross Pearson. Also in the card, you know, strangely enough, Gray Maynard still going at it now in the featherweight division. He's going to be taking on Fernando Bruno. Maynard's one of those guys I don't get it. You know, he was at one time looked upon as being one of the better lightweights in the world. Suffered a lot of defeats in a row now. He's currently on a 4-fight losing streak, where 3 of those have been knockouts. Not real good numbers. We haven't seen him fight in over a year, where he lost to Alexander Yakovlev, or I can't enunciate it. He lost at a fight night card here last year in April against Alexander Yakovlev. I think that's how you enunciate it. Before that, TKO lost to Ross Pearson, TKO lost to Nate Diaz, and a TKO loss to TJ Grant, who's not even in the UFC anymore. So he hasn't had a win on his record since a split decision victory over Clay Guida in 2012. Actually, June of 2012. So we're looking now at 4 years since Gray Maynard has won a fight. Various different divisions. That fight that he won was at the lightweight division. He hasn't fought, hasn't won anything in the featherweight, so this should be real interesting to see what Gray Maynard has left at this juncture in his career at 37. You would think here a 5th loss in a row, he's got to be done in the UFC, and at some juncture he may want to actually think about possibly retiring altogether. You know, 5 losses in a row isn't good, and then actually out of the 4 losses he suffered in a row, prior to that he had lost another one, so he's actually lost 5 out of his last 6. Not good numbers. So you hope Gray Maynard can step up and can bounce back here in his match at the Ultimate Fighter finale against Fernando Bruno. But we shall see. Otherwise than that, not a lot of other real names that are jumping out here in regards to that fight night card. Ultimate Fighter finale card. Jake Matthews versus Kevin Lee at lightweight division. Should be pretty good. Matthews gets a replacement in Kevin Lee. Because his original opponent, Stevie Ray, dropped out due to some visa issues. James Krause was also supposed to be on the card. He was actually supposed to fight Ross Pearson, but due to a death in his family, he ended up pulling out of the card. And that's why Will Brooks ended up getting inserted in after getting signed with the UFC. So, you know, injuries and things happen in life to switch these cards up. But, you know, like I said, the Pearson-Will Brooks fight is going to be interesting to see. And then I do still pick Joanna to retain her championship over Glahea. Now, let's get to the main course, if you will. UFC 200 will go down Saturday night from the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. It's there on the Strip. Big arena that's just been built adjacent from MGM Grand, pretty much. It's right in that general vicinity by that. If you've never been to Vegas, it's down that way. It gives a lot more access and ways of getting in and out for both the fans, the media, and anyone else involved compared to the MGM Grand. If you've ever been to the MGM Grand for an event, it's kind of a pain in the ass to get in and out. And thank God they built the T-Mobile Arena to house bigger events and make the accessibility a lot better for all involved. So, you know, here on Saturday night, we're going to get Daniel Cormier versus John Jones for the Undisputed Lightweight Championship. Light heavyweight championship. This fight has been, you know, over a year and a half in the making. Finally, Jon Jones has gotten his nose clean. Finally, Daniel Cormier's knee is allegedly healed. So we'll get the rematch. I don't see the rematch going any different than what the original one did. Daniel Cormier had issues being able to get the takedown, and when he got the takedown, he couldn't keep Jon Jones down. I don't see anything changing now. I see Jon Jones learning and knocking off the rust in his previous bout at UFC 197 against Ovince St. Preux. I think he's gotten all that cage rust out of his way since it's been over a year since he fought. I think he's going to be a lot sharper in this bout compared to the bout he had here a couple of months ago. So it's going to be kind of night and day for him in regards to a fight. I think if you're judging what you saw from him, you know, at UFC 197 and think he's going to struggle against Daniel Cormier, I think you're an idiot because cage rust is very real and that's something he even admitted post-fight. So I look for Jon Jones to actually win the fight, and quite honestly, I think Jon Jones is going to get a stoppage win here. I think these two, the rivalry, I think, is not as hot as people would think. Jon Jones, I think, has moved on in life in regards to hating Daniel Cormier. You haven't seen that same buzz for this bout that you would have anticipated when they had their first matchup. You know, time has passed, things have changed. So the energy is still, you know, granted, as we record this, this is, you know, a few days out from the bout. It's the start of fight week, but the buzz just still doesn't seem really genuinely there for the bout. A lot of people are seeing it the way I see it, and seeing Jon Jones being able to beat Daniel Cormier again for the undisputed now light heavyweight championship. The buzz that is surrounding this bout is kind of some bullshit. It's the Brock Lesnar Brock Mark Hunt card fight here on the card. Now, it's been a minute since I've done this show, so let me kind of get on my soapbox and complain about Brock Lesnar a little bit. Now, Brock Lesnar's a whore. And what I mean by that, what a whore is someone who does things for money. That's what Brock Lesnar's doing. He is doing this all for money. Do not think for a heartbeat this is regards to him feeling robbed of the sport and cheated and all this other bullshit he said in interviews. He is about making money. And I think he reached out to his people reached out to the UFC. His then people then reached out to the WWE. They worked out some sort of deal so he can get it back out here and he can fight. And he can fight for money. I do know he's making a lot of money for this bout. It's in the $1 million range as far as exactly what he's getting. We probably won't know the full details of that, but I can tell you he's definitely making over 7 figures for this bout. So there's that. You can't take a guy real seriously who does professional wrestling and then flip-flop back to MMA. Same way with Bobby Lashley. Can't take those guys seriously as fighters. What I've seen from Brock Lesnar throughout his MMA career is he cannot take a punch. Now, people are going to say, well, he was the former UFC heavyweight champion. Yes, but the guy he beat, he was almost 10 years younger than, or might have been 10 years younger than at that time, and he outweighed him by over 30 pounds. He was fighting really a old man who's a natural light heavyweight in Randy Couture, who was actually winning the bout until Brock Lesnar was able to get the takedown. You can see in that bout, and if you don't believe me, please go watch it on UFC Fight Pass, that Randy was hitting him, and Brock Lesnar did not know what to do. Brock Lesnar, I think, after his second or third punch, was already bleeding from his nose. Brock cannot take a punch. And if that's something Mark Hunt can do very well, is throw punches. We've seen Mark Hunt with walk-off knockouts here recently, quite a few, for that matter. So Brock Lesnar's lone shot of winning this bout is getting a takedown and being able to stay on top of Mark Hunt. If he cannot get a takedown, or for whatever reason goes in his mind that he wants to stand up with Mark Hunt, it's going to end up ending bad, and it's going to end up being real bad for Brock Lesnar. It will be a knockout in a vicious fashion. We've seen how he's dealt with guys who can strike and wrestle. We've seen his last time we saw him, he was losing, suffered a TKO loss to Alistair Overeem, where he was getting just tore up on the cage, taking body shots. We saw him turtled up like a wounded dog against Cain Velasquez and getting knocked out and beat up and smashed on there, losing his heavyweight championship bout title. We even saw him against Shane Carwin in that opening round, which I still say the fight should have been stopped. He was getting pounded on there, and then Carwin gassed out and had nothing in the second round. So we've seen in his history he can't take punches. If guys can stop the takedown at all, it's not going to end well. So I look for Mark Hunt to win this bout, but I will say with an asterisk, if Brock Lesnar gets any semblance of a takedown and can keep Mark Hunt down, that is his lone chance of winning. But, you know, it seems like the UFC promotion for UFC 200 has been centered around him, which is completely unfair to these other fighters, such as Miesha Tate and Amanda Nunes. Now, Miesha Tate is your new and reigning bantamweight champion. She won the belt here a few months ago, and she's now going to be making her first defense. It's a shame that her title fight has gotten pushed down on the card because of Brock Lesnar. And as a champion, you deserve better than that. She's now pushed down against Amanda Nunes. Now, granted, Amanda Nunes isn't a huge name. I think we all know and respect that. She's not huge in the division, but this would be an opportunity for the UFC to really promote her because, quite honestly, I think she's going to beat Miesha Tate. I look for Amanda Nunes to actually really take it to her. I think Tate is underestimating what Nunes' capability is. Nunes can wrestle, she can submit, and she can strike. And that combination is something I don't know if Miesha Tate can really deal with. We saw her have trouble against Holly Holm early in their championship fight before Holm ended up making some mistakes in the fifth round and getting choked out. I think Nunes is going to learn from that, see what those holes are, and are going to expose that. So I pick Amanda Nunes to actually win the Women's Bantamweight Championship here at UFC 200 over a little bit overconfident Miesha Tate. Miesha Tate's been doing a lot of interviews and publicity here on the build-up for the fight, and it's a lot of talk of other fighters and other ventures and not her actual opponent. She's overlooking her opponent, and this is not going to end well for her. Maybe another two fighters who are actually getting disrespected from getting pushed down on the card is Jose Aldo and Frankie Edgar. Now, these two have been definitely, if you listen to Frankie Edgar, has been disrespected. They're now fighting for they're saying it's an interim featherweight championship. Quite honestly, it is the featherweight championship belt. Current champion is Conor McGregor, who we all know is fighting at welterweight. There is no way in hell Conor McGregor is going to be fighting again at featherweight. He's weighing over 170 pounds now. For him to make 145 and defend that belt, that's a huge strain on your body to go up and down in weight like that. I just don't see him doing that health-wise and being able to do that. If anyone saw the way he looked prior to fighting Jose Aldo when he won the featherweight championship and how drawn out he was and how sickly he looked, there's no way in the world he's going to be able to do that again after being this heavy and fighting at a welterweight here later this summer. So, for all intents and purposes, this fight is for the featherweight championship. Screw if they call it interim. It's for the featherweight championship. We all know that. Now, for Jose Aldo, you know, he suffered a very devastating first-round loss and quick loss to Conor McGregor. How is he going to mentally rebound from that is a good question. Now, he's going to be facing a guy he's familiar with, Frankie Edgar, who likes to complain, likes to whine, feels that he's always getting cheated or jerked out of title fights or out of decisions. I thought he very clearly lost the unanimous decision to Jose Aldo when they fought 3 years ago. I don't see this really being any different. Truth be told, I look for Jose Aldo to kind of come back and be the vicious Jose Aldo we've seen in years past, where he was knocking guys out relatively quickly. He was, you know, destroying guys with leg kicks. I look for him to kind of go back to that because I think he wants his position back on top. I think he's looking at being disrespected here over the last, 6 months since that loss to Conor McGregor and wanting to maybe reestablish himself as being not only the featherweight champion, but reestablish himself as being one of the best fighters in the world pound for pound. And that's something that reign and that title that he once held is now gone after losing in 13 seconds to Conor McGregor. Now, for Frankie Edgar, I guess if Frankie Edgar likes to whine, every time I see him on TV, he's whining about something. He's maybe the biggest crybaby there is in MMA today. That takes nothing away from his ability. I think he's a very capable fighter, but he's always whining about something. He's always thinking he won a fight, or he's getting overlooked, or he's not getting a title fight. And it gets a bit cumbersome, and it gets a bit annoying. Granted, his last few fights, he did knock out Chad Mendes here at the end of last year, and then we saw him beat Uriah Faber before that in 2015. But really, you look at his resume, and it's not that great here recently. You know, the Mendes fight, okay. The Faber fight, all right. He did choke out Cub Swanson, and then he beat a very, very old-looking BJ Penn when they were part of the Ultimate Fighter. So really, I'm not saying he's done a great deal since that Jose Aldo loss. I look for Aldo to pretty much subsequently destroy him. I don't look this fight being that competitive. I know I'm probably in the minority here, but I do look for Jose Aldo to completely destroy Frankie Edgar and possibly, hopefully, get him out of a title talk for a while. I don't want another rematch between these two. I want Frankie Edgar to go away. He's very annoying. He's the annoying little brother of MMA. Very annoying. Also on the card, on the main card, is going to be Cain Velasquez versus Travis Brown. Cain Velasquez is looking to bounce back after losing his heavyweight championship belt to Vauricio Verdum here last summer. We haven't seen him since then. He was scheduled to be in a rematch for the belt, but he ended up getting hurt. We've heard a lot of BS about him losing that fight because of the cardio and the altitude in Mexico City, which I think is a joke. But this is an opportunity to reestablish himself and possibly probably be another fight away for a title fight or be the next guy up here after Aleister Overeem and Stipe Miocic fight here later this fall. For Travis Brown, Brown wins this fight. Brown has definitely got himself in the title talk because he's going to beat a former champion. That'll be two back-to-back wins for him. So, I mean, he would then be amongst the short list. He'll probably need another win, but he'll be in the short list for title talk as well. But I look for Cain Velasquez to actually beat Travis Brown. I think he's going to have far more tools to use, such as his wrestling, and not try to stand and bang with the tall, lanky Travis Brown. But we have seen that Travis Brown has been able to, you know, do some things, stopping takedowns and what have you. So I think it'll be a competitive fight, but I do look for Cain Velasquez to win that one. The undercard here for UFC 200 is actually maybe the best part of the whole card, truth be told. Kat Zingano versus Juliana Pena, Johnny Hendricks versus Kevin Gastelum, TJ Dillashaw versus Rafael Asensio. We even get a Sage Northcutt sighting. He'll be facing Enrique Moraine, Diego Sanchez, Joe Lozano, Gegard Mousasi versus Thiago Santos, Jim Miller versus Takeru Gomi. I mean, these are fights on the preliminary portion. I mean, the last three that I name, those are on Fight Pass. The Sanchez, Lozano, Mousasi, Santos, and Miller Gomi fights are all on Fight Pass. So, I mean, this is really a stacked undercard for this event. And I think we're going to see a lot of finishes. It's going to be tough for the UFC to figure out, you know, who gets Fight of the Night bonuses, who gets Knockout of the Night bonuses, and what have you. Because these fights on the undercard are going to steal the show and are going to have a lot more buzz on social media than I think a few of the fights on the main card will. So we shall see. But UFC 200 is finally here, and then after this we can move on. Moving on would be then Conor McGregor. So that would be the next hype machine we'll start seeing. We'll start seeing the hype machine between Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz too. Granted, Tyron Woodley and Robbie Lawler will face each other here at the end of the month. But I honestly see the UFC pushing more of the Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz fight than they will the Lawler-Woodley fight. It's just strange like that. That's how their machine works as regards to media. So there is that. Like I said, it's been a minute since we've done a show. And just want to take a few seconds out here to say rest in peace to Kimbo Slice. Since the last show, he's passed away. Very influential guy in MMA. People will say what they want to say in regards to his fighting style and how some of his fights have ended, but at the end of the day, he brought a lot of attention to MMA, helped get huge ratings when he was on television. Very humble guy, very humble in wanting to learn the sport and get better at the sport, even at his advanced age. So I think no one should really bash him for that. I don't think anybody really has bashed him for that. It's not his fault that he's a victim of circumstance in regards to TV ratings, the way he was marketed. He went out and he actually tried. He tried his best in his bouts. And the promotions he worked for worked around that and put him in bouts that they knew that could showcase his skill set. So definitely rest in peace to Kimbo Slice. And, you know, thoughts and prayers to his family in regards to his passing. He will never be forgotten and will be still a big fixture in MMA for years to come. So definitely want to say that. And as well, another thing I want to touch on here before I go, the return of Rampage Jackson here a few weeks ago at Bellator's Dynamite 2. Rampage looked awful. I know he's revealed that he has a thyroid issue that's going to pretty much keep him from being able to cut weight to fight at light heavyweight from what I'm understanding. But he looked bad in his bout. I know why he's fighting, you know, because he's got the contract with Bellator and wants to make, you know, the rest of that money, but it just did not look good at all. So, yeah, we're going to at least see him one more time for Bellator. Hopefully that's it. Hopefully there's no more bouts for Rampage. A rumor is he's wanting either Fedor Emelianenko or Tito Ortiz. He's even open to fighting Matt Mitrione at heavyweight. Strange. Another thing I want to touch on in regards to that same card on Bellator. Matt Mitrione looked like he was knocked out cold, or pretty much knocked out in his fight against, I'm not even going to try to enunciate his name, but everybody's seen the fight at this point. If you haven't, definitely go YouTube Matt Mitrione's debut for Bellator. He looked to be out there in the second round. He ended up, the ref ended up not stopping it, letting it go. He ended up getting up and ended up winning the fight in the second round, but to all of us, watching him and listening to him in the post-fight interview, he couldn't remember anything from the first round. It sounded like he had a concussion. You know, it didn't take two eyes to see that, but Bellator already announced while he was in the cage, after the fight, his next opponent, him fighting, you know, weeks later over in London. Now, he did say this week that he has been medically cleared and he's going to be able to fight on that London card. You know, I still really question, you know, Bellator's thought process when, you know, fighter safety, because something about this just does not scream safety. And whatever commission cleared him, whatever doctors cleared him, I would come into question in regards to that. Brain injuries are a real thing, and fighters need to keep this in mind and stop chasing these dollars and winning these fights. Your health long term is going to be more important. So I hope everything is truly okay with Matt Mitrione, but after seeing that and hearing him talk in the first round, just not good. Just not good at all. So we shall see. And obviously in the coming weeks when we start doing the shows regular again, we will talk about him and his fight over in London for Bellator's debut over there. But that is all here for this time around. Again, make sure you follow me on Twitter, punch_2theface, and as well at punchtotheface.com, and email me at brandon@punchtotheface.com. And as always, like I said, the number 2 there in Punch to the Face. Until next time, everybody enjoy UFC 200, be safe, be blessed, and I'm out.